This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
...9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Stearin, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care. By Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing in Litchfield. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By DC Waste and Recycling. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk.
David Jenkins, thank you so much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. And well, Dan, the game I had last night in Carlinville got moved up to 6. Your game got moved up to 6:30, and I don't know about Staunton, but it never rained in Carlinville during the game.
We did get some rain, nothing hard or strong like they were predicting the possibility of, but there was a light rain and sprinkle throughout the game. Didn't seem to affect the play at all. The ball was taken care of by both teams. Both teams threw the ball somewhat effectively, so a little rain, but nothing bad.
And I think everyone anticipated last night what we're getting right now, more of kind of this consistent, steady rain. And it was weird because yesterday a lot of it stayed north. You know, and as an athletic director, you can only go on the forecast in situations like this. And what happened in Springfield was supposed to happen here yesterday. So we saw a lot of the changes around the area, and you can only make the decisions based on the information you have at the time.
I was listening to a weather report yesterday morning, and the guy was warning that, you know, they're predicting this really bad weather, but it's hard weather to predict. Yeah. This weather that's not normal to us here in the Midwest is coming up from the tropical storms, that it swirls, it changes directions. One storm's going one way, one's going another. And so he said the best we could do right now is make a prediction, but to plan for the worst. And luckily we got the best of it.
It all worked out pretty good last night. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday. His Cavaliers beat Litchfield last night 52-0. Good morning, Chad.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing all right. We were just talking about the weather that wasn't last night, and I guess from your perspective, it worked out very good. You got to play in dry conditions, and your field didn't get chewed up.
Yeah, I gambled there and started an hour early just with playing the weather, and good old Mother Nature decided not to do anything last night, so it all worked out in the end.
And Chad, you must have been anticipating weather, because I noticed last night you didn't have your shorts on.
I had shorts on, but I was, I'm a pansy when it comes to getting wet, so I had my rain gear on over the top of it, so.
You can stand out there in the cold in your shorts, but the rain scares you off. This is backwards to me, Chad.
It's very backwards, so yeah, I put them on and, we got to talking and moving around and, I just never got them off, so.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the game last night. Going in, I think everyone knew that what happened is what people predicted was going to happen, and that the first half was as close to perfect as a football team can play.
Yeah, you know, like we told our kids, we need to focus on, and I know, do what we do type of thing. So, you know, that was our approach. We broke down film the same way we do any other film, and we tried to execute that, and those were our goals, to have no mistakes, and I was very proud of our kids. I thought we did that. We got a break in the kicking game there, and I thought we just overall played pretty well air-free.
And that might have been the shortest punt return in the history of football that Kyle Dixon had.
Well, yeah, I watched one of those on the top 10 on SportsCenter the other day. Somebody took it off the foot up on the 1 yard line, but you know, he was in the right place at the right time, and you know, was a heads up play and just picked her up and walked in the end zone.
And Chad, a game like that, how challenging is it for you as a coach to keep your kids focused when all week long, essentially, the outcome was known before you ever kicked off? So how did you keep your kids focused?
Well, Tim, you know me, the routine. You know, I think for us, we are a very routine-oriented team. We do the same thing on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we went ahead and did that, practice like that all week long. You know, the things that we tried to do differently were making sure that substitutions were ready and those types of things. So those were flawless, and I thought we did that as well.
And the real positive for your program coming out of last night is you got a lot of kids that Friday Night Light experience.
Yeah, when you're able to do that, that's what helps build those programs. And that sort of thing. So I think overall we were very pleased.
And I want to talk a minute about Jared Easterday here. Coach, you're a little familiar with that young man, but he is now the all-time passing leader in yards, touchdowns, completion, and completion percentage at Carthenville. And, oh, by the way, he broke his brother's record. So just talk a little bit about the pride you feel as a father when you see your boy have that type of success at a program like Carthenville.
Well, as a father, I think as any parent, you know, I'm excited for him. I'm very proud of him. He has taken on a role that is quarterback at Carthenville is difficult. One, because I'm not very nice to any of them over the years. I think they all can tell you that the expectation level is high for them. You know, they're in the spotlight. You're either a hero or you're not. So both of my sons have taken on that role with all of the other quarterbacks that have come through. And we have evolved as a unit, as an offensive unit, and he's kind of embraced himself with that role. And, you know, overall, I think he's accepted it. His teammates have accepted it. And he's really excelling in that right now.
Talking about the Friday Night Light experience that some of your young kids got last night, Jared got that as a freshman. He was thrown right to the wolves.
Yes. You know, had an injury. Adam Walton had an injury there in the first season of collarbone. And we had tried a few quarterbacks, and what was best was for him. And he ended up starting seven games. And then, like we've talked before, in his little evolution as CHS quarterback, you know, then his sophomore year, Adam back and did really well. And Jared ended up playing JV that year and took that experience, I think, and moved it into what he is now.
Let's talk about the game you got coming up on Friday night, Coach. It's a big one. Pena coming into town.
Yeah, you know, two great programs, I think. A lot of tradition in both. You know, it's an early on test in the conference to see where everyone is and they stack up. You know, they had a good week one game with Greenville. We had a good week one with Hillsboro. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how all that pans out. And you don't want to get too fired up. It is only week four, but it's a big one, week four.
And, Chen, I just feel over the last, say, 4 or 5 years, Pena has matched up with you guys as well as anybody in the South Central Conference. They have really given you some good battles.
Yeah, you know, seems like we can win over there and can't win at home. I think Tim Tarter was telling me about that or something like that. So, you know, our speed, it's usually a pretty good matchup. They're very similar to us in their offensive approach to the game. Defensively, they're similar to us as well. They like to pressure, play some zero coverage, that type of stuff. So it'll be fun to see which team makes an adjustment and which team can handle an adjustment at halftime. It'll come down to that type of play.
Outside of obviously taking care of the football and limiting penalties next week, what do you see some of the keys being right now? Chad?
Hello?
Yep, can you hear me, Chad?
Yeah.
Oh, lost you there for just... I thought maybe you didn't like my question, which that wouldn't be the first time, let's be honest. But outside of penalties and turnovers, what do you think are going to be some of the keys next week?
I tell you what, I think the key for us will be pass protection. They like to blitz a lot. Can we protect Jarrett, get the ball out in space to our athletes, and then, you know... We use this phrase.
We got
something else. That's usually been pretty good for us.
All right, Chad, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. It's going to be a heck of a ball game next Friday night. We'll have it live on FM 106, and we'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right, thanks.
All right, Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carthenville Cavaliers. A bit of a spotty sell.
We don't know what the phrase was.
We don't. It's a secret.
it's a secret
phrase. It's a secret phrase. We'll blame the weather on that cell phone connection. But, Dan, when you look at Carthenville, obviously last night was last night, but that game next week against Pena, it's week four and a lot of football to play after that, but whoever wins that game is going to be in the driver's seat for the South Central Conference.
It's always a circle on the South Central Conference schedule of one of the big games of the season, and you're right, that's generally been whoever wins that game is really in a driving seat. And Coach Easterday was right. It seems like Pena always seems to travel well to Carthenville. We had that game 2 years ago and Carthenville had them down at halftime, and Pena came roaring back. And
it was like a three touchdown lead or something, wasn't it?
Right, and came back and got him in the end. And, you know, kind of the tale of two halves kind of football game. And they've always traveled very well. They're the one team in the conference that can really match speed for speed with Carlinville, their aggressiveness. I think Coach is right where the schemes and the philosophies are very similar. So it's not, you know, when you look at replicating speed in practice and when you look at replicating scheme in practice, I don't think either team has a difficult time reproducing the other team, what the other team does. So it's always a great matchup.
I want to talk about Litchfield here for just a moment, Dan. I want to be careful what I say here because they're high school kids and we know the situation that they were in. But they were so overmatched last night that it almost felt dangerous. I mean, it really, really did. A couple kids got hurt. Thankfully, nobody, I don't think, got seriously hurt. But it was just the size, the speed. They weren't even close to being on the same level. And I honestly felt bad for the Litchfield because they played hard the whole way through. Alex Fisher made a chase down play with about 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter that kind of showed the heart and the guts that he plays with. And I think it kind of filters through to the whole team. But football, more than other sports, if you don't have the horses, it can get real bad real fast.
And I think that's where they are. You alluded to the fact that they're great kids, and they are. They have tremendous support from their parents. The faculty has really, you know, stepped up and got behind these kids. But there's a situation where, you know, there's an attrition factor that's in there with injuries and just numbers on the sideline. That is an issue that they're dealing with. Their effort is outstanding. That seems to be the drum that they're beating. You know, we're going to play hard. We're going to play hard the whole game. We're not going to worry about the score. We're not going to worry about our record. We're going to love football. We're going to play hard. And they do seem to be, for the most part anyway, holding that up and trying to do the best they can.
Here's my concern. I mentioned it during the broadcast last night. We've seen schools around the area that have had numbers around Litchfield, even less than Litchfield. The problem is they didn't play in the South Central Conference. And in this league, they played Carlinville last night. They play Vandalia next week. They play Greenville the week after that. They still have Pena on the schedule. These are legitimate, powerful football teams.
And state-ranked.
State-ranked. And so at what point is safety become a real legitimate concern?
Well, and it is. And I think the other teams, Carlinville obviously last night, they're respecting the fact that, you know, Coach Easterday had an opportunity to get a lot of kids in the game, and schools are doing that, which is good. But they're going to leave their guys in and let them, you know, the goal is to get to that 40 points, yep. You know, to get the clock running. And there's some big, strong kids playing up until that point and trying to get some stats and trying to get some time on the field as they've earned and deserved as the varsity starters at their schools. And it's in those first quarter and a half of the games that I think are some concern. And you don't want to tell your kids not to play hard. Because then injuries can occur and they can get hurt. And that's the thing that nobody wants to see is anybody get hurt in these games from either side. And it does create a very difficult situation that at some point I think probably is going to have to be looked at and addressed in some way.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate, sad situation, but I felt bad for Litchfield last night. I felt bad because it was hard to watch. High school kids go out there and literally have no chance. I just felt bad for them. I don't mean no disrespect. I don't mean anything like that. You just have to call it like you see it. And that's how I saw it.
It is. It's a very difficult situation and sometimes we see difficult situations in high school sports that there's a remedy coming and I just don't see it down the road here. And so it's, you know, we're only three games into the season. We're only a third of the way through with six games to go. The next two being very, you know, in one aspect, we can say they're past Carlinville.
Right.
But now they're staring at Vandalia, looking at Greenville, with Pena still looming in the horizon. Some very strong. The South Central Conference is a very, very strong 3A, small 4A football conference, and who has had, you know, here lately, tremendous amounts of success in the postseason. And it's a difficult time to be in that situation for a football team in the South Central.
There was a running clock last night with 50 seconds to go in the first quarter.
And that's an interesting point that we're, you know, those who don't know what it's generally the second half.
Yep.
40 points, second half the clock runs, so they're making even adjustments. And last week there was, I think, 2 10-minute quarters of continuous time. That there's adjustments being made in even the rules of the game to apply to this situation, which adds to the difficulty of it.
Absolutely. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to talk with Hillsborough head coach Aaron Duff. The Toppers got their first win of the season last night in impressive fashion. We'll talk with Duffy following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, the Hillsborough Hilltoppers picked up their first win last night, their home opener against Roxana. They won it 36-6, and Dan, Hillsborough had a very tough start to the year at Carthendale, at Vandalia, so it was good to see them get right at home last night.
Yeah, absolutely. We had the Vandalia game last weekend, and just an indifference and power in that game with Trevor Smalls really being in control of the whole tempo of the game. So it was great to see the Toppers come home and get that first win. I'm sure Coach Duff slept a lot better last night.
And to do it in the fashion that they did, that really, it gives, I think, a lot of hope to Hillsborough moving forward. Because coming into the year, I think we all thought that they were a playoff team. But when you start 0-2, no matter who the opponents are, you know, maybe it gets you wandering a little bit. But to come back last night and take care of Roxana 36-6 at home in their home opener, very good sign for the Toppers. And joining us on the phone right now is head coach Aaron Duff. Good morning, Duffy.
Morning. How you doing?
Hey, doing very well. I would imagine that last night was a nice night on the drive home.
Yes. Yep. Very nice. Good for our kids. We get some confidence last night.
And that's the thing we were just mentioning, Duffy. Even though you're at Carthendale, at Vandalia, two of the top teams in the league, when you lose by the margins you did, even though both those games were closer than the final scores, sometimes doubt can start to creep in for high school kids. But to come out and dominate like you did last night, great sign.
Sure. Yeah. You know, it's tough to start 0-2 for everybody. But our kids all week long, we talked about growing up, getting mentally tougher, and our kids really responded during practice during the week. And we had a great week of practice, and it really paid off last night.
And you know, Duffy, sometimes kids don't appreciate when the coach says, you didn't practice well, and then the game doesn't go well. Sometimes that doesn't resonate. But when you have a great week of practice from a coaching perspective, that probably gives you a lot more confidence just internally for yourself going into the ball game that week.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we're young experience-wise, but we got to get that experience quick. And those first two games, you know, even though we lost them, we learned a lot about ourselves and what we had to work on. And we really got after each other this week, and we made a lot of improvements. We still got more to do, but very happy with our guys, very proud of them.
You know, Coach, you said you learned a lot about yourself in the first 2 weeks. You want to take a moment and talk a little bit about just some adjustments that we made going into the Roxana game and things that you saw and really paid off for you last night?
You know, moving personnel here and there a little bit, but sort of simplifying things, getting back to, you know, running the football a little bit more, even though we did throw a lot last night. Just working on technique type stuff, just working on hard-nosed mentality and just growing up. You know, we just kept talking about growing up and getting mentally tough and just an attitude at practice. And I thought our guys had a great attitude all week.
And that's been one of the great staples and hallmarks of the Topper football program over the years is that toughness. And, you know, maybe sometimes when young kids come up, you just think, well, you know, I'm playing for Hillsborough, so I'm going to be tough. But you got to learn to be tough. You got to practice to be tough.
Yeah, Friday night's a lot different than a Monday night or a Thursday night, and I think you know we're learning. And like I said, I just can't give enough to our kids how much effort they gave this week, and it really paid off for them.
Who were some of your big contributors last night in the win?
Well, Caden Lemon sticks out in my mind. I don't know how many all-purpose yards he had, but it had to be you know a lot. Everybody, our whole offensive line improved. I'm just going to give it to everybody. And the unsung heroes of our team, I think, is guys that maybe don't play as much on Friday night or on our scout teams and stuff. they really pushed everybody this week and help us get better.
And, you know, that is a great point right there. As we've been talking, you know, to coaches throughout the year, you hear that numbers are down for some teams. And, yeah, that can affect the game, but that really has a bigger effect in practice. And when you don't have the horses in practice, it really makes it hard to get prepared for a Friday game.
It sure does. And, you know, we've been harping on it, and it's true. Everybody matters. Every single kid matters, and helping out at practice, it just makes the whole team better. You're part of the team.
No doubt about it. Now, you're back home next week. Staunton Bulldogs coming to town. Staunton 2-1 on the year, and that's a team that has a lot of talent and a good amount of speed.
Yeah, yep. I'm expecting them to be a lot better. I haven't seen their film yet, but I know they're going to be a good ball club. It's going to be another good test for us. We got to improve. There's still a lot more from last night. Can't turn the ball over, and we had to play perfect. So it's going to be a good challenge for us.
Aaron Duff, congratulations on the win last night, sir, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you.
Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. And, you know, we've heard Gillespie talking about it, Duffy talking about this week, attitude. And in football, attitude is so important.
Oh, it's everything. It's everything. Having that mentality of sticking your nose in there and playing some hard football is something that Hillsboro has never had a shortage of. And through those first couple of weeks, it almost, you know, I think some doubt was starting to creep in, but it sounds like Coach Duff got things right and back, you know, right back on track and playing some good hard Hitsville football from the past.
And you think about Hillsboro, you had him at Vandalia week one, I had him against Carlinville the first week of the year. It was 14-0 in week one at half. Was it 12-0?
Yes,
at the half?
Close.
So, I mean, you're talking about on the road at Carlinville, on the road at Vandalia, and you're down by just two scores at halftime of both games. And then you come back, take care of Roxana at home. And so Hillsboro, they still have a lot of work in front of them at 1-2, but they are still, in my mind, they're a playoff team.
Oh, absolutely, and that's something that I'm sure Coach Duff and the staff over in Hillsboro is really impressing on these guys, that 5-4 is going to get in. You know, the conference wins are going to be there, the playoff points are going to be there. We've got two of those losses out of the way. There's two ways of looking at it.
Right.
You know, we could say, you know, we've got two losses, and we say, they're out of the way. They're out of the way. Let's go get those wins. Those are the ones we're going to concentrate on and look towards and build towards. And I know Coach Duff is just a master manipulator in that positive way of getting the kids to think right and to be right. And he's going to have those guys ready to go. Those five wins, you know, they need four more now. They need four more wins. And they're out there. He's going to get his kids in position to be in a position to win those games.
And that's a great point you just made right there, Dan. Going into the year, when you look at the schedule, not many people would have thought at Carlinville, at Vandalia, you come out of there anything other than 0-2.
They're out of the way, though.
That's right.
They're out of the way.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
I'd rather be starting with them than finishing with them.
It's such a great point right there. Such a great point. So Hillsboro beat Roxana 36-6. We talked about Carlinville beating Litchfield 52-0. Dan, you were in Staunton last night as the Bulldogs beat Southwestern 44-6. Now, both Staunton and Southwestern have beaten Litchfield. Those were their one win each coming into the game. And boy, Staunton really put on a display last night.
I was expecting a good game. Southwestern's just got an absolutely gigantic offensive line. They've got a big fullback, a quarterback that's adequate, can move the ball around. He's athletic. And I was expecting a really good game, but Staunton came out from the very first kickoff and just absolutely dominated them. Their team speed really showed, their toughness, just excellent tackling, excellent, they schemed well. There was good pressure from the perimeter. There was good pressure up the middle on their defense. Offensively, they've got so many weapons that Southwestern just really had and Southwestern's got some athletes, but as far as the speed that they needed to keep up with and to cover their receivers, Tyler Grandidier was just, you know, just running wild out there and just didn't have the speed to be able to match that and really wound up being the difference in the game.
And Staunton is one of these teams, think back to a couple of years ago, there was a lot of talk about the young talent that they had coming. Well, it's here now. You talk about the Bianco crew, that group, they got a lot of experience as freshmen even, and now you can see moving forward here into the back end of their high school careers, that is paying dividends.
Absolutely. Drew Mullinex, you know, out of the backfield. He had a little trouble getting going. Southwestern really didn't, and it was clear that they were keying on him, and wound up getting a lot of yardage from their quarterback, and off the end and running, which we're not used to seeing. You know, he's usually throwing the ball around a little bit more, but they were so keyed on Drew Mullinex that then once things started to relax, Drew got loose and he was running wild into the secondary and just, you know, just a lot, so many weapons for the Bulldogs.
It's going to be a very interesting game next week with Staunton at Hillsboro.
Yeah. You know, both, this is a big game for both of them. You know, we look at that 5-win plateau of trying to get there. This is one where they both need to win this game. So very interesting. I think the winner that coming out of that game is going to, feel a little bit better about getting to their 5-win plateau, and the other one's going to, you know, really need to press and win a game that perhaps they shouldn't to get to that level.
Well, you talked about getting certain games out of the way for Staunton after next week, three of the next four at Pena, home to Vandalia, home to Carlinville.
So yeah, a big win. This is a must win, for them leading into that three. You know, that's a real butcher shop of their season and could give them some confidence to maybe even knock one of those teams off because they got the speed to do it. Or if they lose that game to Hillsboro, you know what that's going to do to their self-confidence leading into those three really tough games.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. Back with more following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk.
David Jenkins, thank you very much as we continue to look at some of the action from last night. Pena improved to 3-0. They beat Gillespie 27-2, and Vandalia over Greenville 37-21. So the Vandals 3-0. So we got Carlinville, Pena, Vandalia all sitting at 3-0, and at the start of the year, that is exactly what people expected to see through 3 weeks of the conference.
Yeah, the haves and the have-nots are starting to separate themselves, and preseason-wise, we knew those were going to be the schools that really stepped up, and they're showing true to their colors and winning the games they should be winning in a fashion to show how dominant they are as programs.
Speaking of dominance, the Williamsville Bullets last night were taking on the Auburn Trojans. They were both 2-0, and Williamsville rolled over Auburn 34-13, and Williamsville obviously ranked very high in the 3A poll. I think they were 2 going into the weekend. You talk about dominant state programs over a number of years. Williamsville fits that bill.
Yeah, just a reload program where they, you got kids that are 4 and 5 years old, 6 years old, waiting to wear the purple and gold. And that's a program that they're, for the foreseeable future anyway, there's no changing the success they're having.
No, they, you know, up there in that Springfield area, they're kind of without the number of state championships, they're kind of the small school version of Rochester.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you look at Williamsville, Rochester, and Sacred Heart Griffin,
right,
that's the A standard of football. You know, you could almost argue in the state. And you got three schools that are 15 miles from one another,
right,
you know, and, just playing a lot of football. And it's a nice thing where they're comparing. They've got those kids on. They all know each other. I'm sure they've all played Little League baseball with each other and JFL against each other. So they don't know any better. They're just playing football at a level that they're used to playing at every year against guys. And then once they go to the perimeter and play people outside that little area, you know, that's when it's showing how dominant that area of football is.
Yeah, consistent deep runs in the playoffs for all three. Elsewhere in the Sangamo Conference last night, New Berlin survived North Mac 20-14. So both the Panthers and the Pretzels now 1-2 on the year. Athens clipped Porta 26-24. Pleasant Plains shut out Riverton 47-0. And Moreau Forsyth shut out Pittsfield 76-0. And the poor Pittsfield Sockies. You know, they came into the Sangamo several years ago, and you talk about going into the Lions then.
Well, and Sangamo Conference is just a butcher of a league that if you're going there looking to have a greater success than you had at a previous conference, you're sorely mistaken.
That's exactly right. In the Prairie State last night, Nokomis went down to Alton, lost to Marquette 27-14. The Prairie State finally gets into conference play now. So Nokomis is 1-2, but 0-1 in league play. Marquette also 1-2, but now 1-0 in the Prairie State. Pawnee shut out South Mac last night 44-0. Pawnee 1-2 overall. The Chargers off to an 0-3 start, and South Mac was one of those teams at the start of the year. Their numbers were down. They suffered some fairly significant injuries in that first game of the year as well. So unfortunately for South Mac, going to be a long year, it looks like.
Right. And it's, you know, coming 1 year off of the co-op and having the success that they had last year, it's unfortunate to see this new co-op going through a struggle already in year two. But it's, you know, you can't control injuries, you can't foresee them, and they're getting bit by the injury bug.
And this might wind up being the last year of the co-op with Mount Olive, I believe, set to go to Staunton next year. They're already there in several sports.
Right.
So.
Right. And it kind of makes sense from that perspective that they're already, track and some other sports are already starting to consolidate with. I don't know if we're looking at or co-oping with. I'm not sure if they're, you know, if there's some administrations looking consolidation down the road and they're kind of testing the waters to see how that looks. But I think that's something that we're definitely seeing heading that direction.
In the WIBC South last night, Greenfield Northwestern off to a 3-0 start. They beat West Central 22-16. So they're unbeaten in the conference and overall. Obviously, Carrollton, who was off to a surprising 0-2 start, they blanked Calhoun last night 50-0, so the Hawks pick up their first win of the year. In the WIVC North, Beardstown beat Brown County 50-16. Camp Point Central demolished Jacksonville Route 42-0. That was a matchup of previously unbeaten teams last night. Camp Point took care of it easily, and Triopia beat Minden Unity 41-6. In the Central State 8, Rochester still perfect. They beat Jacksonville 48-0. And poor Lanphier, they drew Sacred Heart Griffin coming off that loss. Griffin 50, Lanphier 6. And Chatham-Glenwood, they're legit. They did not have any type of letdown after their upset over SHG. They took care of Springfield High 27-6. And that will be an interesting team to watch in the Central State 8 as it goes along.
Because that's the two big wins. They've got past SHG, and they've got past Springfield High. I'm not sure when they're looking at Rochester in the schedule, but that's coming down the road, and I'm sure that's going to be one well attended by the faithful in Springfield to see if, you know, just how for real they are. If they can get past SHG and Rochester in the same season, that's that's quite an accomplishment.
That'd be a rare feat that maybe has never been accomplished in recent memory.
I don't know if the same teams beat those two in the same season. I'm going to say it's never happened.
Probably not. Hey, we're happy to be joined on the phone right now by our good friend from the Springfield State Journal Register, Dave Kane. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, we're doing well. You may not know this because you're more of a small school guy, but Dan just proposed it. With Glenwood beating SHG, has anybody beat Rochester and Griffin in the same year in that Central State 8 recently?
I just heard you guys talk about that. You'd have to look to make sure, but I can't recall it ever happening. To beat one Leonard is a pretty good accomplishment.
Yeah.
To beat both of them would be
worthy of a trophy.
Feather in
a
your
feat.
Cap.
Hey, Dave, where were you last night?
I was at Auburn. Originally I was going to be at Williamsville, and then I was at Auburn.
Right.
For Auburn and Williamsville, and Williamsville was very impressive. They're especially last night with the conditions, you know, it was pretty wet. Williamsville has become more of a running team so far in the early going this year. And, they were really successful last night at Auburn.
That's interesting because they were in that spread, throw it around. I feel like a lot of earlier than a lot of teams in the area were, so they're kind of now shifted more to a run dominating offense.
Well, yeah, I mean, and they can still throw the ball, you know. They're not going back to double tight end or you know anything like that. But they just have, and again, last night especially, you know, with the conditions, you know, they wanted to keep it on the ground more. But they have a first year starting quarterback Damon Cody, who can definitely run the ball. He's kind of deceptively fast, I guess you would say. You know, he kind of, as they say, he's sort of a downhill runner. And they have another guy named Grant Ripperda who has a lot of speed back there. And a third guy named Keegan McGann. And, you know, all three of them are very good athletes. So, and they had a very experienced offensive line coming back. So that's a big ingredient too.
Dave, obviously conditions played a factor up in the Springfield area last night. All that rain stayed north a lot of the South Central games last night. So with the conditions playing a factor like they were you able to get a good read on Auburn, or was it really just more about what Williamsville did?
I guess it was maybe a little more about what Williamsville did, you know, last night. Auburn definitely likes to, you know, throw the ball, but, you know, it's a Dave Bates team. And, you know, just the conditions, you know, were definitely not favorable for throwing the ball. It wasn't, you know, it, it, it rained off and on throughout the game. Never really a downpour, but just enough where, you know, you just couldn't get a grip on it, either throwing it or trying to catch it. So a destined chance, the Auburn quarterback, he ended up actually gaining a little over 100 yards on the ground himself. And, you know, he's a very good athlete. But, I think you guys talked earlier about how, you know, maybe if you lost a game or two already, there's still those wins to be had out there. Excuse me, I think Auburn's in that situation. Although Dave Bates pointed out these next 2 weeks, they have to play Pleasant Plains and then Athens. Yeah. So the Trojans are 2-1 right now. It's still not going to be easy for them.
And every year we talk about the Sangamon Conference. I mean, it's just basically a state-ranked team every week, no matter who's on the schedule.
Well, yeah. It was already a very solid conference, up until a couple of years ago. And then you had a Maroa Forsyth into it. And that's that's where you say Murderer's Row or whatever. I mean, it's just there's just not, you know, very many easy weeks. I mean, granted, you know, Pittsfield, is struggling somewhat, and Riverton is struggling. But last night, you know, is a good example, and I don't know how much the conditions played into it, but Porta, which has struggled in recent years, they pushed Athens to overtime, and Athens ended up winning like 20 by 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
And, and then that's a big rivalry up in Menard County, Porta and Athens, as they say, throw the records out the window. But even a matchup like that, you don't know what's going to happen. So yeah, it's in a relatively short amount of time. I think this is maybe the 10th year for the Sangamo as a conference, but it's in a short amount of time, it's become a very, very good, 2A, 3A conference.
I wonder if Pittsfield knew what they were walking into.
Well, to an extent they did. I think, it was a situation where they just didn't have many other options, for a conference, for, say, 2A or 3A competition. They were in the West, it was called the West Central for several years, and it was just, some of these conferences, it's hard to keep them together. So that was, I think, just the situation where they just didn't have a lot of options, and this conference, it's tough competition. B, it involves Pittsfield quite a bit of travel. I'm not sure exactly what the future holds for Pittsfield as far as their programming. I'm sure they're going to keep having football, but it's been a tough road for the Saukies.
You know, Dave, on that same line of thought, with the consolidations and the co-ops that we're seeing, and then the concept of the super conferences coming up, could we see anything where, say, the South Central Conference and the Sangamo get together and try to work something out where a super conference of some kind, and goodness, the competition and the games could be played when you think of the possibilities of Maroa, Carlinville, Vandalia, the North Max and Auburn's, the possibility of a super conference between those two, geographically, I think it would work, and competitively would be just absolutely incredible.
That's an interesting, concept, and it hadn't crossed my mind. Between something like that and then the other, I guess, maybe proposal right now where the ISSA is looking at maybe even doing away with conferences for football and having, I guess, districts. That's another option that could maybe be a remedy to, the conference jumping or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, gosh, the South Central and the Sangamo, that would really be intriguing. A number of years ago, I think when the Sangamo was first getting going and they didn't have 10 teams, the Sangamo and the Prairie State had kind of an agreement. I think they would play each other for their non-conference games. It was kind of a set schedule, like when North Mac was in the Prairie State for a few years, that could be a really intriguing, idea. I don't know how if the schools would really be want to look into it or not, but you would really have some neat matchups, that's for sure.
Dave, we need to take a break. Can you hold on with us?
Sure.
All right, awesome. We're back in just one moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Dane Kane staying with us here on Sports Saturday. And Dave, I guess you mentioned the districts right before we went to break. Have you heard any updates on that, any movement? I know it was going to a vote at some point. Is there any advancement?
Truthfully, I'll be honest, I haven't really, you know, in these early weeks of this season, I haven't really had a chance to maybe check either with the IHSA or check with any local coaches. I mean, it sounds like, you know, it's more a good chance that it could happen than it won't happen. But I'm sure it wouldn't, you know, be tried to put into place for maybe at least a couple of years, because that's a pretty substantial change. I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, some of the things we've been talking about, you know, certain conferences, you know, having trouble staying together, and, you know, with co-ops and consolidations, suddenly, oh, hey, we're down a team. We need to get another team to fill our conference, you know, things like that. And it's just from one year to the next, it's kind of a challenge for schools and athletic directors. So, I guess Missouri has had a format along those lines for a long time. I'm sure some other states do. I'm a traditionalist. I think a lot of us are. You know, you'd hate to see some of those traditions go by the wayside. I guess they would, at least what we've heard about where, you know, in your schedule you could keep that like a rivalry game week open to maybe keep some traditions alive. Bottom line, honestly, I have not really had a chance to see, you know, if there's been any advancement or if there's been any kind of a timetable set yet on it. But I wouldn't be surprised if it could happen down the road.
Dave, I don't have the Sangamo schedule in front of me, but Williamsville and Moreau Forsyth, they seem now to be on a collision course.
Well, it's next week.
Next week, there you go.
Yeah, it's week four. Williamsville goes over to Moreau. Williamsville has... You know, I mean, and we've talked about, you know, the Sangamo, how Moroa coming in has really just made it even a deeper and tougher conference. But Williamsville has actually knocked off Moroa 2 years in a row, including 2 years ago over at Moroa. So I'm sure the Moroa Trojans are going to be definitely going to be ready for Williamsville. I know Moroa has a returning starting quarterback. He's only a junior this year. I mean, they're traditionally always a really high-powered offensive team. They play on the, you know, field turf, which kind of enhances their, you know, their athletes a little bit. So, even though it's going to be only week four, you'd have to think that game's going to go a long way in maybe determining the Sangamo champion.
Just like in the South Central Conference, Carlinville Pena meeting next week.
That's right. Yeah, you have, boy. I wish you hadn't brought that up, because then I'm going to have to try to figure out how to clone myself.
Yeah. Two heavyweight fights for sure.
But you know, doggone it. Two week four games that'll both be very, you know, pivotal, you know, for those conference races. That's for sure.
And Dave, as we look at Carlinville through 3 weeks, you know, they've got wins over Hillsborough, Gillespie, and Litchfield. But I've heard coaches talk about, Duffy said he thinks Carlinville is better this year than they were last year, and they were really good last year.
I think I heard you guys talking about that last year. That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
When you think about it. These last, I guess 3 years, you know, a couple years ago, you know, Kyle Dixon was not a one-man team, but
Jacob.
Boy, he was the bread and butter. And then last year, you know, it was, you know, even more of a passing game with Jared Easterday I guess I said Kyle Dixon. I meant Jacob,
right.
You know, the older brother Dixon. You know who I am. I think that just between the skill people they have back this year, and their offensive line, you know, Carlinville. You talk about their skill guys, and that's a big part of it. But over the years they've always had to develop a really good offensive line, and I think Don Borgini maybe has a little bit to do with that. What they've done, what the Cavaliers have done in recent years is pretty impressive. And like you said, maybe they are better this year than last, which is a pretty ominous thing for their opponents.
Yeah, it really is. And we were talking a little bit about Carlinville and Williamsville. Of course, they had that great playoff game 2 years ago at Carlinville when the Cavaliers knocked off the Bullets. But I was thinking, Dave, when you were saying that Williamsville's beaten Moreau Forsyth 2 years in a row, obviously Moreau Forsyth more weeks than not, they are the fastest, quickest team on the field. Not necessarily the case when they play Williamsville, because Williamsville, they have had dynamic team speed for a long, long time.
Yes, and like I said, you know, we were talking earlier, they've at least, you know, the way it's been so far, they've kind of gone to the run a little more than maybe the past few years. You know, they did lose quite a few good receivers from last season, but they still have a lot of good athletes and a lot of speed. You know, I don't know if they'll you know match up, you know, man for man, you know, with Moroa as far as the overall speed. But yeah, this will be one of those weeks where Moroa, you know, they're not going to have they're not going to have any sort of a cakewalk this week, because you know, Williamsville has, like you said, in recent years developed just a pretty consistent arsenal with their offense.
Dave, appreciate your time this morning. I'll get you out of here on this. Has anything surprised you through 3 weeks of the high school football season so far?
Oh, boy, I'm trying to think here offhand. Not too much. You know, going in, I mean, again, looking at the South Central, you figured Carlinville, you figured Vandalia, I hate to say Pena has surprised me, because they've been so solid in recent years, mm-hmm. but they did lose an outstanding quarterback in Beeson last year, and they lost some other very good seniors. But they have been, you know, they haven't missed a beat, at least these first 3 weeks. Obviously, this coming week's going to be big. So I don't want to say they've been a surprise, but they've maybe they're ahead of where I thought they would be, just a little bit. But other than that, you know, not too many surprises so far.
All right. Dave Kane, thank you so much for some of your time this morning. And, hey, have fun in Marrora next week.
Yes, for sure. And like I said, if I can't clone myself to be down at Carlinville, I don't know. We'll have to figure something out.
Have to work on that technology.
But two great games next week.
Holy awesome. Cow, two Dave Canes.
Now we're talking.
Now we're talking.
Well, that's scary.
All right. Dave K, thank you so much.
See you guys.
Dave Bye-bye. With the Springfield Bye, State Journal Register, one of the greats in our area. And, of course, Dave, always a great follow on the Twitter.
You know, I read a great article Dave wrote in the Springfield paper yesterday where Jacob Beeson, even though he is not quarterbacking the Panthers over in Payne anymore, he's still with the team doing some filming, helping that new quarterback and helping him along and talking to him. So even though his presence is not felt directly on the field, he is still using his experience, using his knowledge to help the Pena Panthers still be successful. So it was a great article. Dave wrote a great article on that, and I enjoyed reading that.
We need a break. Back in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. And coming up next week, we talked about Carlinville Pena. That'll be our live game. David, off the top of my head, I do not remember what our second broadcast feature will be next week. But Carlinville Pena, Dan's going somewhere. Does Dan know where he's going?
I believe I'm going to Hillsboro,
please,
to watch the Bulldogs from Staunton.
Staunton play Hillsboro.
You would be correct.
Okay. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
There you go. So two very interesting matchups coming up next week right here on WSMI FM 106. Of course, we'll stream it all at WSMIRadio.com. And big games for totally different reasons next week, but big nonetheless.
Oh, absolutely. And where it should be, week four, whether by plan or by schedule or just the way it worked out, there are some very pivotal games. You know, we look at both of our games. You know, you're going to call the Carlinville Pena game, which is going to put somebody in the driver's seat to win the conference. We're going to call the Staunton Hillsboro game, which is going to put someone in the driver's seat of making the playoffs. So two big games. Tune in, and both should be competitive, close, great games.
Yeah, should be a fun week of football next week. And, of course, and in the Sangamo Conference, you got Williamsville and Moreau Forsyth. If that was a state championship game, nobody would be disappointed.
No, nobody would blink and even doubt it.
No, you wouldn't even think twice about it.
No.
There are a few games today. Wood River will be at Madison. And, Dan, I found this very strange. Madison, they have a forfeit win over a team from Canada.
You know, Dave alluded to with the co-ops and the consolidations and the difficulty that athletic directors are having finding games.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we were going all the way north of the border, though.
Who knew, huh? Yeah.
For a game that didn't even get played?
Forfeit.
Did they?
I don't
know. Did they make the trip?
It was going to be in Madison.
Oh,
it was
going to be in Madison.
Maybe there was a passport issue. I don't know. I have no idea, but that just caught my eye, like, really? Ontario, Canada.
Maybe they figured out that, they're going to get caught offsides all the time, attacking the line of scrimmage like they did in the CFL.
The field isn't right. What's going on?
That is interesting.
Yeah. Also today, the Central State 8 has a game at 1 o'clock between Southeast and Decatur Eisenhower, and we'll see if there's a good chance the weather will play some sort of factor
in those games. If they get to play. Yeah, it's going to be a swim meet, that's for sure.
You're listening to your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. We're going to go into extra time here this morning. We're going to pause for worldwide news at the top of the hour. We're going to come back with more on Sports Saturday following these messages on WSMI-FM 106.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk.
Thank you, David Jenkins. As T. Tote would say, we're into extra time this morning on Sports Saturday, and we're going to spend a few minutes here talking about the Montgomery County Volleyball Invitational. Obviously, it is to raise awareness for INAD. Kyle and Mary Herschelman's daughter Grace has obviously been stricken with this terrible rare disease, and we've talked to Kyle about it over the years on the sports show, and just they've done so much to raise the awareness because there just hasn't been a lot of research done on this terrible disease because it is so rare, but they have done amazing things getting awareness out, raising money, and this volleyball tournament has turned into an amazing event. They've got 16 teams in it now, 4 pools. They play in 4 gyms, and Dan, you were out at Maverick last night, and they were still going.
They were. There was a group heading back to watch the last game around 10 o'clock, and I was just astounded that we were still playing volleyball at that time, but yeah, really, they were anxious to get back. So the volleyball's been great, really good competition. And so, if you're not doing anything today, it's not like you're going to be doing anything outside. Go and watch your girls play some volleyball.
Starts at 11 o'clock this morning. The gold bracket, which is the championship bracket, will be at Lincolnwood High School. Roxana takes on Vandalia at 11. Hillsborough faces Auburn at noon. The championship match will be at 2 o'clock this afternoon at Lincolnwood High School. The third place match precedes it at 1 o'clock at Lincolnwood High. The silver bracket is at Lincolnwood's grade school. That has the Lancers taking on Nokomis at 11. Staunton faces St. Elmo Brownstown at noon. The fifth place game is at 2. The seventh place game will be at 1 o'clock. That will all take place at Lincolnwood grade school. At Simmons Gymnasium in Litchfield will be the bronze bracket. At 11 o'clock, Father McGivney takes on South County. At noon, it'll be Litchfield against North Mac. The 11th place game at 1 o'clock. The 9th place game will follow at 2 o'clock. And then in the copper bracket at Panther Gym at Litchfield, Ramsey against Springfield Calvary at 11. Edinburgh takes on Morrisonville at noon. The 15th place game at 1. The 13th place game at 2, and obviously a great, great cause for this, the awareness to INAD, and it's just critical that you're able to get the awareness up, get the research flowing, and Kyle's talked about how there is, the research, it's happening now. There's starting to be maybe some small advancements. It's just, when you start dealing with rare diseases and afflictions like this, it takes people like Kyle and Mary to get the awareness up, to make sure that the dollars are there to be committed to the research.
There's no way that you can anticipate entering into a parenthood as Kyle and Mary have, but to do it with the grace, to use her name, and the just the awareness that they are raising for this terrible, terrible disease is historic, I think. We see celebrities use their platform to bring, for cancer research, for AIDS research. But what Kyle and Mary and their team is doing for this is just, it's admirable, is the only word that you can really use.
Yeah, so as you said, it's a rainy day. Get out, whether you go to Lincolnwood or Litchfield, get out, support this volleyball tournament as they will begin at 11 o'clock at all 4 locations today, and there'll be multiple matches, and just hats off to them for everything they've done.
Yeah.
There's all another volleyball invitational going on today. It's the Wood River Marquette Invitational. Gillespie played Wood River at 8:30 this morning, so obviously that match is over. Bunker Hill's taking on Trenton Westland right now. That started at 9:45. Those games were at Wood River. In Marquette, it was Marquette and Jersey at 8:30 this morning, then Cahokia taking on Springfield Lanphier at 9:45 this morning. They will have their championship match coming up at 2:30 today at Wood River. Boys golf action yesterday at the Craig Dixon Invitational at Meadowview Golf Course in Mattoon. 37 teams and a lot of big schools involved in this, and Hillsborough fits right in. They're in seventh place after the first 18 holes, just two strokes behind Edwardsville, for goodness sakes.
Pun intended, they're in there and they're swinging.
Woo!
With the big boys. With the big boys. And we, you know, the success of the Hillsborough golf team is well known throughout the county, but they're starting to, I'm sure they're turning some heads, and people are asking who's yeah, Hillsborough and where are they from, and these young men are not backing down to anybody.
Alex White, Alex Eichhoff both shot 73 yesterday. Dan Huber shot an 80. Wilson Hamby carded an 84. And then we'll see if they're able to get their 18 in today. Obviously, the weather across the state is spotty at best.
It's going to be interesting because there doesn't seem to be much lightning involved in this weather that we're having. Normal play is when it rains, you play. But this is a level of rain that we'll see what they do. Interesting to find out if they play out that second day and what that's going to do to the play, because obviously it's going to have a very strong effect on it.
When at some point the course becomes a factor, is the course playable?
Well, and that's where, with golf, sometimes the schools, the athletic directors are out of the play, and course managers, because again, they're protecting their investment, the investment of their members, of their contingency, and sometimes they step in and make decisions for the best case of the course itself, which winds up being most of the time what's best for the players as well.
There is supposed to be a girls' golf tournament today as well. The Lady Viper Open at Terry Park in Palmyra. They were planning on a shotgun start at 9 o'clock this morning. Questionable if that got going. But Lincolnwood, Northwestern, South County, Auburn, Carrollton, Williamsville, and Jacksonville, Roughton. That's the thing about golf. Like, you can play football in the rain. But when you get the big rains and the super soakers, golf becomes a challenge.
It does. And courses become unplayable.
Yeah.
When you look at standing water and anything more than casual water when traps are flooded, and you can not play the traps and things like that. But
that's my kind of golf.
But there you go. Right. Right. But it courses become literally unplayable, yeah, where it's just not in the best interest of the course or the players, to even try it. And I'd be surprised if they play that tournament.
Yesterday at Indian Springs, Lincolnwood, the Hillsborough and Litchfield JVs participated along with Paina. The Hillsborough varsity, of course, was at Mattoon. And Dan, you kind of made a strategic decision to get more kids involved at the JV level match play and then let your varsity kids get some practice time in, which can be few and far between once the season starts.
We did. At the beginning of the year when it looked like we had 15 boys come out, and I foresaw some problems getting them on the course and getting some play time. I contacted Jeff Eichhoff over in Hillsborough because I knew that he also had decent numbers every year and had some JV opportunities for his kids. So I asked if we could get involved. He got us on the schedule three times. The first two, ironically, were rained out. And so this was our third time that our JV boys were going to get to play in a match at somewhere other than Litchfield. And it wasn't looking good all day, but then they just kept pushing the weather. So the boys did get to play. So it was a good opportunity for those guys to get to go see what varsity golf was like. They got to play Lincolnwood's varsity team, who has a very good team, and Paina's varsity team along with the JV boys from Hillsborough. So they get to get on the course and see what it's like for real and see what they need to do to improve for the future. So hopefully that was a good experience for those guys. Chris Hedrick, our assistant coach, took the boys over while I stayed back in practice and then headed over to my broadcast game in Staunton. So I think they had an eye-opening experience over there.
And, you know, the golf in Montgomery County is so good with Lincolnwood, Hillsborough, and Litchfield. And this has been over a number of years now, consistently good.
We were talking about Marquette Explorers, for example, who has a good boys and girls golf program. You know, and there's that Tri-County All-Stars joke that we always put with the parochial schools that they legally can recruit. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at a county All-Star team, yeah, here in the county between boys golf. When you take Lincolnwood and Hillsborough and Litchfield and put them together, you know, if we'd have done that last year, we're looking at a state championship.
Absolutely.
Team. Outstanding golf, you know, being played year in and year out here just without leaving the county borders.
Yeah, it's been impressive, and it's been over a number of years now, so there's nothing like, it's more than just one or two good golfers. Obviously, Eickhoff and White, they're at a different level. I mean, they are so good. Like, you can put them up against anybody in the state, and they're going to hold their own.
We've seen them coming. You know, they had the success in middle school at the IESA tournament. But we see that before with middle school kids being successful and then burning out, whatever. These two young men are just getting better and better and better and living up to and exceeding every expectation that we had for these guys. Outstanding young men, very hard workers. They put in the time. They play the summer tournaments. They do everything that they need to do. And now they're just reaping in the benefits of that hard work.
Yeah, so hopefully they'll get to finish up their second 18 in Mattoon today. But you think about Hillsborough. I mean, Barrington's in first, Charleston's in second, Edwardsville's in fifth. 37th, big schools.
Yeah. Charleston is the defending 2A champs. So, right, they're with the big boys.
Yeah. And, I mean, they obviously have their sights set on state championship this year.
Right. And going into the season, you know, they looked like the odds-on undisputed favorite. And then FEM St. Anthony's come into the picture, which they were not bad last year, but they've come into the picture. Hillsborough's had some very close tournaments with them, lost by just a few strokes. I believe maybe they tied them once. So it's been very, very tight. So leading into Bloomington, those two, they have their eye on each other. And it looks like separating themselves from the field. You know, when you get two good teams so close together geographically and playing in so many tournaments together, they're really concentrating on one another and just pulling away from the field.
It'll be interesting to see how the postseason draw winds up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've seen each other because we're traditionally, Litchfield's in the same section with Hillsborough, and we've been with St. Anthony's before. So it'll be interesting if we see it, and that'll be in the same week.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like other sports we play. It's Monday sectionals, Friday, Saturday state. We got a new format this year where they're actually having cuts at the state tournament. You got to make the cut from Friday to Saturday. Neither one of those teams are going to have a problem with that, barring injuries and things like that that could occur. But if those two teams play each other, you know, 27 holes in the same week against each other, that some golf fireworks for sure.
Yeah, that could be a lot of fun.
Could be very fun.
Follow that group.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, we're going to wrap it up here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Thanks to all of our area coaches who joined us this morning here on Sports Saturday. Good football for you next week on the radio. Carthenville will host Pena. Staunton will travel to Hillsborough. All the action here on FM 106, streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. And, of course, great thanks to Dave Kane for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday as well. Dan Newkirk, have a good week, sir.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
All right. For Dan and David, I am Tim. Sports Saturday is done here on WSMI FM 106. Stay dry and have a good sporting weekend.